And finally this week, we received news recently that an expert who has been a guest on this program many times over the years, Dr. David Flockhart, has begun treatment for glioblastoma. That's a highly aggressive form of brain cancer. Dr. Flockhart is a pharmacogeneticist, and we have turned to him in the past to explain how drugs work in the body. So now he is in an unusual position of playing two roles, both patient and scientist. And he offered to come to the Sound Medicine studio to explain how he learned he had the tumor and what he's been going through and the science behind the treatment. So you better take us to the very start of it, when you started to first notice any symptoms.
So about 4 or now 5 months ago, I noticed that I was having some difficulty running downstairs at speed. I'm a person who uses gravity normally to run downstairs, to go downstairs. And a couple of times I stumbled and I thought, this is weird. And I, like a doctor, I blew this off and ascribed it to old age or whatever. But then about a month before the actual diagnosis, I noticed that this was happening in my right hand as well. So I would lean out to get the banister when I'm doing this running down the stairs thing, and I'd miss the banister. And I'm a physician, so I put together the fact that this is not a peripheral thing outside the brain. It's in the brain, most likely.
You said that as a doctor, you knew it wasn't peripheral. You knew it was in your brain. Mm-hmm. So how did you know?
So if you have symptoms that are affecting both the upper nerves in your body, in the upper extremity, and the lower, then that's not simply something that's due to something in your hip or something in your arm. It's something higher in the nervous system than that. So that's what made me nervous. But I have to say, the symptoms I was having were evanescent. You know, they were a few seconds. And I'd go days and weeks without them happening at all. And I had a couple of times, I didn't have any time when they occurred at once, meaning upper and lower at once. But they both occurred, so I thought, it's possible these are separate things, but it's unlikely. this is a physician thinking, going, erring on the side of safety, I need to be scanned. As soon as I had the scan of my head, the CT scan of my head, things happened extremely fast. I had, I think, something like 6 different scans, PET scans, MRIs, magnetic resonance imaging scans, and CAT scans, including, importantly, 2 functional MRIs, which allow the investigators or the neurologists to map the function of my brain. And they did fancy things like ask me to remember things and pronounce stuff and imagine things and picture this in my head while I was under the scanner.
And the purpose of that?
To map the functional areas of my brain so that they could avoid them at the subsequent surgery. So they knew what to avoid, and they knew where to go to get the tumor in a very specific way.
Why so many? I mean, what were they really trying to get at this tumor?
So imaging technology has evolved amazingly, Barb, in the last 20 years. I mean, actually 30 years. I mean, we've got magnetic resonance imaging, just magnets, above just radiology. And the radiology's got fancier and fancier and fancier and more specific. And in many, many areas of medicine, including arthritis and inflammation, but also cancer, we're now able to tell a lot more about images than simply the image themselves. We're able to tell what they do. So in the case of cancer, there are these things called PET scans, positron emission tomography, which allows you to identify the rate at which tumors are metabolizing stuff, so how active they are. So my doctors were able to look at it and say, that's a highly active tumor. It's doing stuff. It's actively metabolizing things, and it's aggressive.
So how big, where, you know?
So in my case, it was 3 by 2.5 centimeters at the back of my left brain. And that is one of the great miracles of this whole story. So I met people in rehab subsequent to this who had lesions in other places who were literally just drooling in the corner, with a 22-year-old woman who came in 3 days before I did, who literally was like, blah, 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 and lasted for about 5 days, and then died because she couldn't control her secretions. And I'm sitting here talking to you, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. pure anatomic luck. She got it there, I got it here. Amazing.
So you get all these scans, you do the functional MRI, it's surgery time.
Mm-hmm. So the surgery was done after the functional MRI. So it was done by Scott Shapiro here at IU, who was a surgeon for Lance Armstrong. And these guys did it under MRI-guided stereotactic. So in real time, they've got the MRI machine in the operating room, and they're taking images during the surgery to check they know where they are and to check they're getting all the tumor and so forth. And what they do is they go in, they take out what they think is all the tumor, and then they pause, delay, redo the MRI, and then go back in to check it's all there, all been taken. And if it is, they leave it alone. If it's not, they take it a little bit more. But incredible level of technology. I mean, you're talking drones in Afghanistan. I mean, this is unbelievable level of imaging you're dealing with. And not just fixed images, but moving things in real time. And this was amazingly successful for most people with the tumor that I have, which is an aggressive, nasty brain lesion. It's a glioblastoma multiforme grade 4. Many, many people with this tumor cannot be operated on, either because the tumor is in a place that would really just cause huge damage and you'd come out non-functional, or because they just can't get at it. It's not in an accessible place. Neither of these were the case for me. It was relatively near the surface. They could get it. And Dr. Shapiro and his colleagues were guided by the functional MRI, so they knew where not to go. So they not only got all the tumor, but they left, as you can tell, nearly all of me.
So how long is a surgery like that?
I believe it was less than an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it sounds so involved in the technology, so intense, and you know,
a lot of preparation beforehand, I think.
Mm-hmm. So
I was expecting a day or two. But
So at the part of your where the tumor was located, what were the worrisome areas?
You mean clinically?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if a tumor's there, you worry about spatial orientation, knowing where you are in space. So I had this issue with the banisters and the stairs, and I have multiple anecdotes about that. I had a very good dear friend come and stay with me for 2 or 3 days as right after I got into rehab, and she's little and she's Chinese, and I hit her 5 or 6 times that weekend, not because I meant I hit her, but because I didn't know where my right arm was. It's hilarious. It was just kind of wandering around in space, hanging out there. And through rehab, I've learned to control that thing and my leg. And I'm able to do 90% of what I could do before. It's important I don't get overconfident, as it is for all rehab patients. And it's important I'm careful. But in terms of actually doing stuff, there's not much I can't do. I just do everything a bit slower.
What was the recovery like then those first couple of days? Because I imagine you were at RHI and in a rehab facility.
That's right. Well, the immediate recovery, of course, in the ICU, I don't remember. but then after a few days in the hospital, I went to Rehabilitation Institute of Indiana. There's just amazing stuff, incredible technology and highly skilled people who aggressively hit you with a lot of first testing to assess what your deficits are, and then very specifically designed, personalized therapy plans.
Dr. David Flockhart is a pharmacogeneticist at the Indiana University School of Medicine. There was a lot more of that conversation, and we'll be sharing it with you over the coming weeks.